Well, hour number two of the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins and Will West. Music can only mean one thing. We slowly continue to make the trek to coming up Saturday, April the 24th. It's going to be the Orange and White game happening at Neyland Stadium. Each and every day you're going to be able to tune in right here into The Sports Animal during the starting lineup to get a practice report from the man who's busting his rump during the scheme, doing all he can to make sure he brings you the latest everything in Tennessee football. It's our very own Eric Kane. Good morning to you, Kaner.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Tennessee held practice number 2 of 15 Saturday morning. Offensive coordinator Alex Golish met with the media following that session. Here's a quick little quote from him.
Through the first few days, like I said, the attitude, the effort has been unbelievable. Really taking to coaching, really embracing the system, embracing how we're doing it, embracing the process of getting better every day. Really fascinating to see growth among some of these guys that have not played a bunch of football here. Has been really, really fun. It's been an exciting 2 days.
Tennessee's offensive coordinator was asked about the quarterback so far in camp and said he's happy with the progression, but notes that there is obviously a long way to go. On Harrison Bailey, Goller said that he's young, confident, a guy who players really rally behind, and someone who's really trying to be a leader as well. On Hendon Hooker, Golish noted that you can tell he's played a lot of football, he's really good with decision-making, and he's super athletic. On Brian Maurer, Golish raved on how he's so athletic and how he's a guy that has a lively arm, but also noted the three all need to continue to learn and rep in the system. One final note from offensive coordinator Alex Golish's media appearance, they plan to keep sophomore D. Beckwith at running back for right now.
Wow.
This spring football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
D. Beckwith is staying at running back, really?
Yeah, you know, he said that you want players to find a home and to learn the system and to feel comfortable, and so that's their plan with D. Beckwith. Said that the staff has talked a whole lot about D. Beckwith. Obviously, 6'5", 225, 230, unique size. I don't think he fits running back. I really don't think he fits running back in this system, but
yeah.
The staff has spent a lot of time evaluating him, and they're going to continue to evaluate him as spring practice continues on. But I think they just want him and other players like him in certain situations to be comfortable, to find a home, and then, you know, ultimately they can make a move later on in spring and or before fall camp.
You know, Will, I'm here for all of this as long as it doesn't turn into a Tyler Bird, Jeremy Banks situation where it's learn this scheme, learn this book, learn this room, be these people, get together with these teammates. Jeremy Banks, I get it, going from running back, linebacker, running back, but even Tyler Bird, back to his going back and forth. It just do what you need to do, make them get familiarized, recognized. I don't know if you can keep shuffling people around, tight end, linebacker, much what we've seen a couple of times with even Jacob Warren had to do that shuffle a couple of times. So I get sometimes you got to find a way to put a square peg in a round hole, but more than once or twice, that's when I think it's getting a little ridiculous after that.
The one thing I think with D. Beckwith is at 6'5", can he hold that weight and still be able to do things in the open field? So the question is going to be, what can he do in the open field? Or are they willing to use a running back by committee a little bit situation? Because it isn't like Heupel doesn't run the football, right?
No, so, he runs it, yeah.
Yeah, he'll run it between the tackles. He'll run it between the tackles as well. So maybe they'll use them for different things. I do think that if Beckwith's out there, it's going to signal to the defense, hey, they're about to run the ball between the tackles, and that's okay. But I wonder, at 6'5", it's not like he's 5'11", 220, right? He's 6'5", 225, mm-hmm. 230. So that's a leaner guy with some muscle on him at 6'5". So how does he move in the open field? To me, that's going to matter a lot. And how well is he at route running and things like that? What do the hands look like for D. Beckwith? Because if I can get a guy that big that can catch the ball in the open field or can make plays in the open field, I'll take that all day long, even if it isn't necessarily prototypical size for a team that wants to throw the ball 40 times plus in a game.
And I think also it might help him too. You know, if they do end up moving him later on in spring, before fall camp, a year from now, whatever the case may be, it's not like what we've seen sometime in the past where a receiver's going to DB, a running back's going to linebacker. D. Beckwith would likely go running back to slot receiver.
Yeah.
And so he would know the terminology, he would know the schemes and all that stuff. It would just be a matter of just switching positions.
Let's be very honest. Long-term for D. Beckwith, as far as making money, it may be in his best interest to move to slot receiver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for real.
Running backs don't get paid, at least not by teams that are smart.
Tyler Ivins alongside Will West. I now read from the app Twitter. And this was last night. I'll even give you the timestamp. 9:33 last night, Will West WNML tweeted the following. No chance Bama loses now, right? Well, it was only, wait for it, 24 minutes later that the jinx is alive and well. That is what Will West, the author, followed up with on Twitter. Will, I have to say to you, as I replied with Duke Gonzaga now, not only are you the jinx, sir, and I hope that you're ready to wear the red J that is now going to be tattooed or scarred into your chest, jinx, Will West. But, Will, it actually presents an interesting question, and it's one that actually then started spiraling off social media between me and a few friends because they follow both of us. I get it. People in the world today, they don't like nice things. People are kind of mean. They kind of like to spit poison. They don't want to see other people succeed. And that actually carried over last night to the conversation about what's still to come in the NCAA tournament. Out of the four guys I was in a group text with, it was me and four other, I was the only one who wanted to see Gonzaga finish the perfect season. Everybody wants to see the world burn. So, William R. West, are you here for this? Are you here for the first perfect national championship since 1976?
Not at all. Give me chaos. All of the chaos. Yeah, look, if Oral Roberts could have won the tournament, I would have taken that all day long over Gonzaga winning that. So give me as much chaos and as many double-digit seeds as you can get. It's not as fun now that we have the play-in game, and so the 11 seeds are all power conference teams. So it's not nearly as fun. But last night, that game was fun. That was a lot of fun to see. And Alabama finally got UCLA D'd them up. UCLA made them play at their pace. And Alabama still should have won that game if they just hit free throws. What about the SEC Player of the Year? Missing three or four free throws in the last 40 seconds of a game that would have sealed it for his team.
Yeah.
And then they hit a 30-footer to be able to force overtime. I did think 30-footer, you get that one kid with the big hair who tried to shoot his team out of the game the entire time, but he clearly was the ball-dominant guy for UCLA that tried to shoot his team out of the game. And then that Witherspoon kid comes off of the bench for UCLA, and after that it's just over, and UCLA just runs them during overtime. I did not see that happening whatsoever. So that was an incredible game last night. But no, give me all of the chaos. Look, I'm an SEC guy. I was pulling for UCLA last night. I'm an SEC guy. I was pulling for Oregon State even though they knocked off Tennessee. But give me chaos. I want the double-digit seeds, and let's go as far as we possibly can. My concerns, we're going to get chalk from here, though, Ivins.
Yeah, and because, look, the better teams always play the best whenever it comes late in the season. You know, the Loyola Chicago stories are awesome. Look, we're even hearing it now about UCLA being the first team since Shaka Smart's VCU team. Shaka Smart bailing out of Texas, running with his Baltimore Cat. Shocker there. Shaka, first team since VCU's Shaka team about now 10 years ago to make it from first four action. UCLA is now on the doorstep of the Final Four in the Elite Eight. What I'm looking at, though, tonight is, look, they've got a tall task tonight, Arkansas does, against Baylor. And Baylor is clearly the better basketball team. And I think you put it best just minutes ago. Baylor grew up in that Villanova game. You know, I was all over the over, and this is a lot more than just where it stands from a gambling standpoint. Because when you're watching a game that means a little bit more than just what the outcome is, you're starting to notice more things, the little particulars that are happening from set to set, play to play. And, well, you're absolutely right. The fact that Baylor, they were challenged against the Villanova team that kind of had that, we're playing with house money without our best player. We have been since Madison Square Garden, the Big East tournament. Did Baylor grow up enough, though, that makes you believe that they're a legitimate threat to end Gonzaga's perfect season? I have that in my bracket, but there have been times where I've went, geez, I took Baylor way too far. They just don't look like they're tournament ready.
Arkansas is a tough game. The one thing with Arkansas, eventually when you talk about these lower seeds, your luck runs out, right? And it takes a little bit of luck to make it in the NCAA tournament. Or it's hard when you're not the most physically talented team
right.
to be able to put together three, four, five, six games in a row where you just play that efficiently. And so that's my question with Arkansas, especially it's a team that's won twice so far by having a team miss a last-second shot against them. And so they've allowed double-digit leads in the last two games for the opposing team early on. I just don't think that they have the consistency to roll with Baylor. And the thing that they've done to get themselves out of the hole is go with more isolation. I can't fathom that that's going to be a winning formula against a team that did grow up the way that they did against Villanova, the way that Baylor did. Because Baylor was, we're going to play that five-out basketball. We're going to shoot a bunch of three-pointers. We want to get out on the run. Super soft. That's what they wanted. They wanted to play Charmin basketball. And Villanova and Jay Wright walked in there and said, we're about to Devo you. And Baylor just got punched in their mouth over and over again in the first half. In the second half, they said, all right, you want to scrap? Let's scrap.
Yeah.
And you saw them grow up a lot in that game. I just can't. Arkansas is going to want to take it to them physically. I do think that's what Arkansas will try to do. I can't think of the team that shares the ball well losing to the team that wants to go isolation most plays. It's hard for me to pick the team that wants to go ISO all day.
They still have to win tonight. So maybe it's not fair for me to ask this question, seeing that they're a win away from the Final Four. But had I asked you at the beginning of the – no, halfway through the regular season. But say I asked you halfway through the regular season, which team from the SEC has the best chance to make the Final Four, how many teams would you have said before you got to Arkansas?
One. I mean, it would have been Alabama than Arkansas. Though it would have been, so they would have been but it would have been Arkansas number two.
Not Tennessee when they were 10-1.
Oh, early in the season, yeah, I thought Tennessee looked like that because I thought they're just – the young guys are going to get better. Fulkerson and Pons are going to get better. Josiah Jordan-James, that he's going to hit more shots. Vescovi's going to continue to, the way that he was running the point at the time, he's going to start shooting the ball well as well. Once one of the younger guys can play on the ball, it's only going to open Vescovi up more. So, yeah, I would have said Tennessee at that time.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Big week for Five Burning Questions last week. Can I carry the momentum over to Monday? We'll find out next as we go head-to-head on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal. Coffee is hot. Sunshine all day Monday, all day Tuesday. Enjoy it because based on what Heather Haley just told us, we're going to get 100% of rain on Wednesday. Tyler Ivins, Will West, the latest in the NCAA tournament involves spring practice. We have it for you here. And Will, I'm going to be honest with you, we're not leaving this program today without talking a little bit more about the potential of Mac Jones being the number three overall selection by the San Francisco 49ers. You did this, Eric Kane. You did this, and we're going to have this conversation all before 9 a.m., but now we got to settle some things. It's a Monday. We go head-to-head. Five burning questions now at TSL.
All right, what was the most surprising outcome for the Sweet 16 games this weekend?
Look, it's the fact that Oregon State could shoot over that just deadlock, strangle defense that was Loyola Chicago. We all knew eventually Oral Roberts was going to run short against Arkansas, and I wouldn't even say that Buddy Boeheim couldn't even carry Syracuse past Houston. But then what do we get Saturday right out of the gate? Sister Jean, she gets bit by the Beavers. That's what it is. It's the fact that we're talking about Wayne Tinkle's team tonight, playing in a matchup in the Elite Eight. Pretty plain and simple there, Will. Now, if they can make it to the Final Four, color me shocked.
Yeah, no, it is Oregon State against Loyola Chicago. It's because they didn't shoot that well. That's why. And against Oklahoma State, they got a bajillion free throws. They didn't get a bajillion free throws in this game. Look at it statistically. Loyola seemed to shut them down and be better than them in every statistical category, except Oregon State hit shots, Loyola missed shots. They took away what Loyola wanted to do. And when that happened, Loyola just couldn't come up with anything offensively, and Oregon State was in their chest all night long. Suffocating defense. That's why Oregon State's moving on.
Thumbs up or thumbs down to Indiana hiring Mike Woodson?
Thumbs way down. This is totally about Juwan Howard, right? NBA assistant goes to Big Ten school with a big name and gets a bunch of wins, and all of a sudden they're a one seed and they're making the moves in the tournament. I cannot believe you couldn't do better than Mike Woodson. Cannot understand that. He's never been good as a head coach. I think he's a fine assistant coach. I know they brought in Thad Matta to hold his hand, but if you got to bring in Thad Matta to hold his hand, you got the wrong guy. Nate Oates, you didn't go make a run at Nate Oates with $6, $7 million a year to get him out of Bama. Instead, you go with Mike Woodson, who's never been successful. It makes no sense whatsoever.
How dare you talk about a New York Knicks former head coach and assistant coach like that, Will West? That's Mike Woodson you're talking to over there. You don't say those things unless you absolutely mean it or your co-host agrees with you like he's going to right now. This is an absolute abomination that you're hiring this man right now. The Indiana school is watching the city of Indianapolis host the bubble NCAA tournament. They are in the spotlight with the biggest hire arguably in their program's history, and you pull Mike Woodson out of the closet. Mike Woodson. I understand Brad Stevens left you. I understand you didn't even make a – you could wait till Nate Oates got eliminated from the NCAA tournament before you made a run at him. This is ridiculous. There are so many other coaches you could have gotten from other conferences to come in and coach at Indiana, and you settled on Mike Woodson. You'll be doing this all over again in 36 months.
Are you in favor of the NFL moving to a 17-game regular season schedule?
Do I get more football in the regular season? Yes. Do I get more opportunities to win in fantasy football? Yes. Do I get an opportunity to see my schedule extend from September into January, now making the Super Bowl deeper into February? Yes. This is the NFL taking the next step to try to make the world of the National Football League, Will, a 365-day-a-year product, and I'm here for it.
I'm not. No, I don't think that this is going to make the product better on the field. My concern is we're going to see more overuse injuries happen with the NFL like we see in other sports. And look, I'm in favor of an 18-week schedule. I am not in favor of a 17-game schedule. You could have given these guys an extra bye and try to protect some of your players, protect the thing that actually draws people to the televisions. Instead, you went with a 17-game schedule because Jera needs to get his extra money from the Jera world.
Jera. Which Elite Eight matchup tonight is most compelling?
Say it.
It is Arkansas-Baylor. It is. Arkansas is a team that somehow continues to survive. They're a team that wants to scrap versus a Baylor team that just learned to scrap against this Villanova team that they beat in the Sweet 16. Arkansas is a very talented team. They can beat Baylor. I don't think they will beat Baylor, but Baylor's going to have to scrap again if they want to get a W.
Correct answer is Oregon State, Houston. Why? We finally get to see this pest of an Oregon State team finally get knocked out. And Tyler's got a futures ticket on Houston winning the national championship. One step closer to Cashville. I'm here for this.
What kind of numbers does that look like, allegedly?
I'll show it to you. I'll send it to you. Plus 1,100 before the NCAA tournament.
I'm kind of rooting for you here, Ivins. I want to see you hit cash at plus 1,100.
Yeah, you should, because Christmas presents are awesome when they have money behind them. Because
wings are on Ivins next time.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I feel like every matchup in the Elite Eight has an opportunity to be a blowout in favor of the higher seed, except for the Oregon State-Houston matchup. Is it always the wrong decision not to foul up three at the end of a college basketball game?
No, look, the odds say you got to play the danged if you do, danged if you don't game. Last night was one of those danged if you didn't, and it's what happened. Luckily for UCLA, they survived in overtime. Me, I'm going to give you that chance to shoot that shot every time, because then you extend the game, and the more you extend the game, Will West, even more crazy things can happen. So me, no, I play the cards that I'm dealt. What happens, happens.
No, not always. Last night, they should have fouled had they been there. The problem was they weren't there. You didn't cover the shooter, and you didn't cover the inbounder, and somehow you didn't have a guy in position to be able to foul. So if the ball's on the floor, yes, foul. Once you get to the point where a guy's on the open floor and you're closing him out, absolutely do not foul in that position. So I can't say it's always. It's usually, but it's not always the right decision.
Will West gets the win today.
Why? You just literally told me where he said Houston was going to be compelling.
Because why, Will?
Because I said Jera.
Because he said Jera, and 17 games is stupid. I love football more than anybody. Okay. 17 games is stupid.
It's incredibly dumb.
You talk about, you preach player safety. Oh, we care about the players. No, you're going to add a game and not give them a bye week? What are you? Roger Goodell, you really good,
yeah, they're cattle.
Really good commissioner, to be honest, but still, in terms of getting stuff done. But bottom line, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it's awful. I feel like it's just completely, it's blasphemy not to give them an extra bye when you're giving them another game plus gearing up for a playoff run. It's just, I don't know, it's ridiculous in my opinion. I think right now, I mean, 16 games has been in place since 1978, so the formula's worked. I thought 16 games was too long, in my opinion. So add another one to no bye week? Absolutely not.
You sure you don't want to DM NFL players, in particular VFLs, and tell them how soft they are?
I tweeted this. I mean, how lonely and pathetic of a human being. Number one, to DM anybody like something like that to begin with. But, I mean, you're wrong, too. So, like, you just look double. I mean, I love when professional athletes screenshot that stuff and put it out there for everybody to see. I love it. I love it.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. So how do we even go about trying to develop a formula of a schedule of where the 17th opponent's going to be? You know, you could sit here and spin dishes and say, should there be two bye weeks, 18 weeks? How do you protect the product and make teams healthier? Or how do you try to force feed another game into the regular season? Not only that, but I am a dog with a bone, and I'm not letting this topic go. Mac Jones, the number 3 overall selection. Could it possibly happen after San Francisco's trade with Miami on Friday? Tuning in to say hello to us, Tyler Ivins and Will West, in our respective West Knoxville home studios. You can find us this morning at TSL 99.1 or at 656-9900. We go back to the world of the National Football League. Look, and we can try to get creative with this scheduling, but one thing is for sure, that means we get to see more of the top players in the top league in North America, and we get to see the new class of those top players. Trevor Lawrence looking to be number one. Gentlemen, though, I want to focus on that 2-3-4 range, because as of right now, the Jets have the 2. You now have the Niners with the 3 after the trade that sent Miami flip-flopping. Then Philly came in and traded their pick with the Dolphins. And currently the Atlanta Falcons sit at number 4. And gentlemen, the Falcons fans listen to this program, and they're going to try to sell you that Matt Ryan's going to be the answer for at least the next 3 to 4 years. I'm not buying that for a second. Matt Ryan, at most, has next year, and I don't know if you could guarantee 2023 as an option for him as well. So I ask you right now, how realistic do you believe these Mac Jones flames are being fanned right now? Because I can name 3 more quarterbacks after Zach Wilson, that being Trey Lance, that being Justin Fields, and I even think I could make a compelling argument for a couple of other quarterbacks as well that should go ahead of Mac Jones just because of what the history of Alabama quarterbacks have shown us. And Will, any quarterback would probably look as great as Mac Jones did when you have the weapons that he's had each of the last 2 years. What am I missing here? What is San Francisco trying to show the rest of the league but without revealing what their poker hand is when it comes to the Mac Jones and the flirtation over the next couple of weeks? Remember, it's coming up later in the month of April when we're going to see it. It's going to be the 29th when the NFL draft gets kicked off.
Jones has been incredibly, incredibly accurate. There's that. It's not that I don't think Mac Jones can make it the NFL. I think he can make it the NFL. I don't know that he will make it the NFL. Does that make sense? He is not an elite athlete. He's not an elite thrower of the football. He doesn't have an elite arm. And if you look at it lately, I mean, who are the guys that are making it as quarterbacks right now? Guys that are elite athletes, guys with elite arms, right? So either you're a great athlete or you're Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and you got a bazooka for an arm. He's got neither of those things. So that is the part that's concerning to me. So let me ask you this. I think Mac Jones, the ceiling's Chad Pennington. Is that worth, and that'll get it done, right? You can win a lot of games that way. Are you trading up to the 3? If the ceiling, and I'm not saying he's going to get there. I'm saying that's the ceiling. If the ceiling is Chad Pennington, is that going to be, am I wrong there to kind of equate the two of those? Because Chad Pennington was such a smart guy that he was still a good athlete. I think he was a better athlete than Mac Jones is, but didn't have an elite arm, but was able to get it done for a long time in the National Football League. To me, that's the ceiling you're looking for. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, man, are you going to spend the 3rd pick on that, especially when you have other guys sitting there that may fit the mold of what works now a little bit better?
Can we just say that? I mean, that just, from the get-go, that just sounds crazy. That just sounds like it just doesn't work. Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan's offense. Now, I'm going to be real. There's a lot of things that are great about Kyle Shanahan's offense, and there are a lot about that offense that can make a player or a quarterback great. But, Will, even from the get-go, Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan, that just already – I wouldn't say it sounds off-putting. It just doesn't look like it fits, right?
Am I off base on this? No. I mean, I can see why. I can see it. I don't think – Matt Ryan – the question on Matt Ryan is, hey, he couldn't throw the deep out when he came out of college. So there were a lot of people who thought Matt Ryan wasn't going to make it. I do think if you're the Falcons, Matt Ryan – I would roll with Matt Ryan and try to surround him with good players and protection. He was a 4th leading passer in the NFL last year. It's not the way – but when you get a chance to reset your quarterback position once your quarterback's in his mid-30s, I get it. You go ahead and do it if you feel like one of those guys is going to be your quarterback for the next 15 years.
Right.
So Matt Ryan fit Shanahan. Kirk Cousins fit Shanahan. Garoppolo's never really fit Kyle Shanahan. So I just think, do you need to be pro-ready and accurate? Yes, and Mac Jones is mentally pro-ready and he's accurate. It's going to be about the work that he puts in after the fact. I just think that it's not like Shanahan test teams downfield all day long. This isn't Bruce Arians' offense. It's a lot of make the right move, quick, accurate passing that Shanahan's looking for. It can work, but what you're asking is that this guy is going to become a different – he's going to put a different level of work into his body that he's never put in when he was in college.
Right.
I always have a problem saying I'm going to give you money and expect you to do more work than you did to earn the money to begin with. It's hard to ask a guy who won't put the work in to earn money to then put the work in once I've given you money. It's Andrew Bynum syndrome, if you will. That's something that's always concerning to me. That's a little bit concerning to me when it comes to Mac Jones.
I look at the situation now, and maybe this isn't hard. Maybe this is a little bit more difficult for me to do now than it was a couple of years ago. Will, you and I were sitting at a restaurant right there off North Shore when the draft was happening. We were watching Baker go 1. Later came Darnold. We know how the quarterback situation played out after that. We saw Lamar Jackson go at the end of the 1st round. He's already been the MVP. Rosen's been in the mix in there, Allen. If I name the quarterbacks who seem like to be the hot commodities coming out of the draft this year, do we already know how this plays out? And are we already ready to say those cast of characters 4 years ago and the cast of quarterbacks coming out this year, one is better than the other? Or do we have to wait to see how these quarterbacks perform in the NFL? I guess what I'm saying is the eye test enough now to go, here's when you mortgage the future. Every year there's a set of quarterbacks and they make them out to be something large. Is this a set of quarterbacks where you mortgage the future and go, I need my guy now. If Lawrence is locked up, I got to do what it takes to get a Zach Wilson. I got to do what it takes to be in position to get a Justin Fields.
Yeah, I wonder, Wilson, here's the thing that I wonder about. It's the same way with read option quarterbacks. I don't know about RPO quarterbacks as much. Now, you can run a ton of RPO when you get to the NFL, but if you draft Zach Wilson, you better be running a ton of RPO. Physically, he's got the skills. He seems like a solid pocket passer, and you still right. win championships in the National Football League throwing the ball out of the pocket. I just wonder, man, with Wilson, when you see a guy run that much RPO, how much of an understanding of offenses does he have? And part of that's just because Baylor and Bryles and as much RPO as they would run. You know, things like the RPO, we haven't seen RPO quarterback make it in the National Football League yet, no matter how much they look like a sure thing. I don't know that Wilson looks like a sure thing. And he ran a ton of RPO, and it's just so I'm a little concerned there. I think like, Trevor Lawrence is as can't-miss as anybody has ever been can't-miss, I think. But everything behind him, I think there are questions. And it doesn't mean you don't draft them in hope. Wilson, especially if he's a guy that – because when it comes to the quarterback position, it's about how much work will you put in once you get there. Wilson seems like a guy that will put in the work. Justin Fields seems like a guy that will put in the work. I don't know a whole lot about Trey Lance, but he's a fantastic athlete with a bazooka for an arm in a pro-style offense right now with an understanding of pro-style offenses. So that seems like it'll work. Mac Jones has been a guy that's been unbelievably successful throwing the ball from the pocket. So I can understand why you would do that. I just look at it right now, and I think the only sure thing is Trevor Lawrence. Everything behind Trevor Lawrence, you're rolling the dice. And that's quarterback play. That's the National Football League. But there are a lot of question marks. I have a lot more question marks about the guys behind Trevor Lawrence than it seems like everybody else in the National Football League does right now.
Let me ask you this question before we get to the game coming up in hour number three of the program. If Kyle Trask had the same weapons Mac Jones did at Alabama, would we be talking about Kyle Trask the same way we are Mac Jones today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kyle Trask was the better quarterback. Is he the better pro prospect? I don't know. But I thought
that's
Kyle
the question
Trask,
I'm getting to.
Yeah, he did more. And it was all on him. One thing we don't forget is that Najee Harris was just an unbelievable running back, and that's a spectacular offensive line that they had there. You're going to see two pass catchers from Florida go in the first round. You're going to see two pass catchers from Bama go in the first round. And Dan Mullen's a fantastic coach, and Steve Sarkisian did a fantastic job of getting Jones ready. Jones probably was in an offensive system that more readily mimics the NFL than what Kyle Trask did, because we've never seen a Dan Mullen quarterback make it the National Football League.
Look at Will West sniffing me out right before we get to the game. Remember, there are only three more chances, including now, to get qualified for the cooling queen-size mattress from our friends at M. Lilly. 656-9900. Hour three, we spin the wheel next on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.